Good afternoon, brethren. Good afternoon to the brethren on the web hookup. Well, I'm sure most of us have seen those wonderful contests or giveaways on Facebook. Some people like to enter contests to win a dream job. True story, brethren. Back in 2009, there was a contest called Would You Want the Best Job in the World? It was created by an ad company promoting tourism in Queensland, Australia. Well, what was the job, you might ask? It was an island caretaker. Job on an island in the Great Barrier Reef. What did the job consist of? Well, your duties included collecting the mail every day, go snorkeling, sailing, and work on your tan, while getting paid of a salary of $150,000 a year. Too shabby, huh, brethren, while working and living on an island. Well, what if today someone was to offer you the job of a lifetime? Would you even consider taking it? What if the job was to be a shepherd for the rest of your life? Would you even be interested in ever applying for it? Would it matter where on earth the shepherd's job was? When you think of the life of a shepherd, sounds like a great, good, relaxing job, doesn't it, brethren? You'll spend your days with those cute sheep while enjoying God's beautiful landscape. Think of it. You'll be eating your lunch underneath a shady tree with your companion as a dog and a shepherd's staff. Who wouldn't love that job? No matter what the weather conditions were, huh? Well, that might be just one little situation there, brethren, because you got to be outside all the time. If it's raining hard, if it's severely cold, you still got to be out there. And you'll need a really good pair of walking shoes, brethren, because you're going to put a lot of miles on your feet. And you'll need to keep the sheep moving them as they graze up the valley, the mountainsides. A good shepherd keeps the sheep moving and grazing in different spots so they don't eat up all and trample all the vegetation in one area. Sheep are very nervous and a skittish animal. You have to be on your toes every minute of your day. It does make sure none of them get scared and run off and take others with them in the wrong direction. Sheep drink a lot of water. They like slow-moving, cool drink water. They don't like swift-moving water. Think of it. You might have to make sure they're all safely tucked in their pen before the sun goes down, too, brethren. And you got to get up really, really early in the morning before the sheep wake up. Take them out again and find food and water. And repeat the same thing over and over every day. Now, who wants to apply for this dream job? Any takers? Sounds like a lot of work, doesn't it, brethren? Day after day, doing the same thing. This will be your job. Not even taking into consideration all the accidents, the diseases they have. And you got to be constantly on the lookout for predators. After thinking about that, brethren, all the hard work involved in taking care of the sheep. Interesting that our Bible calls us sheep. And Jesus Christ is called our Good Shepherd. We need to be cared for, don't we? And led every day. You bet we do. We desperately need a shepherd. And although we cannot pay him for what he really is worth, brethren, Jesus Christ, he came to this earth to be our shepherd and the Lamb of God. As the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ became the ultimate sacrifice to reconcile all human beings back to God the Father. Scriptures talk about Jesus Christ being the Good Shepherd and the Lamb of God. At different times in his life and ministry, they are talked about separately and then they become one. At Christ's last Passover with his disciples, he began by washing their feet, then offering them the unleavened bread and wine. Because Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, tells us that he will pay the penalty for all humanity's sins by the sacrifice of himself. Therefore, the wine, it represents his blood that was shed for the sins of all mankind. Well, by understanding and accepting Jesus Christ's sacrifice in repentance and faith, we can be assured that our sins are all blotted out, brethren. We can go forward in our Christian life with confidence, knowing that through that sacrifice, we can be reconciled to God with Jesus Christ as our good shepherd to lead us. And while God has not removed all sins from our life today, nor has he removed all the suffering from the world yet, we know that one day very soon this is going to happen. That is why for now we need Jesus Christ as the good shepherd of his church to lead us and to guide us. Everyone likes a title. My title is, Are You Ready to Be a Shepherd? Are you ready to be a shepherd? Come with me to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. David was inspired to write about how God takes care of us on a daily basis in so many ways. Psalms 23, verse 1 through 3, tell us that the Lord is our shepherd and gives us everything we need. Then it describes everything a shepherd does to take care of his sheep. Remember in the job description, brethren, that we said the shepherd has to keep the sheep moving from pasture to pasture so the grass does not get trampled or eaten down to nothing, and that the sheep prefer slow-moving and still clean water to drink than swift-moving water. Verse 3 and 4 tells us that the shepherd takes care of our souls and leads us along the right and safe paths. That is why we should not be scared of evil things. And a sheep can be very skittish, and be even afraid of their own shadows, if the shepherd does not make themselves safe, feel safe. The staff can guide and draw the sheep back if they go too close to danger. 5 and 6, verse 5 and 6 tells us he will take care of all our needs, both physically and spiritually, even though we may not feel it or feel like it at some times. God knows what we need to be cared for, brethren, right now and in the future ahead. Since we are still physically and we have so many needs, just like the sheep, we need daily protection. We need food. We need water, along with so many other things, don't we, brethren? He knows that we desperately need a shepherd. And that is why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, here to earth to be our shepherd. But how does he protect us today, brethren? How does he protect us today? How does the Son of God continue to be our shepherd every moment of our life? Brethren, our Bible tells us Jesus Christ continues to be our shepherd today. And what we can learn becomes shepherds too, brethren. Because it isn't that to be our destiny. Every one of us. To graduate from being sheep who need a shepherd to help them every day. And to become shepherds ourselves, brethren, to help and lead others and teach God's way of life. John 10, verse 1. Let's come with me to John 10, verse 1. Come with me to John 10, verse 1. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. According to many commentaries, this is referring to Jesus having put the sheep, the brethren, in the church, in a pen for the night, trying to protect them. Verse 2, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Shepherd accesses his sheep by the door in John 10, verse 7. Jesus says, he is the door. By entering through the door, he shows that he is the shepherd, the one who cares for his flock, and he does not come to kill and destroy. In verse 3, it refers to a doorkeeper. This is a servant who opened and closed the door for the sheep. But only the shepherd could call out the sheep. Just as the flock of sheep should know the voice of the shepherd and respond to it, brethren, the people in the church of God should know and recognize the doctrines of the church and the true teachings of God. The phrase leads them out. It refers to the care of a faithful pastor that speaks and leads the people out of the world to the church, and then provides for the brethren to feed them with the bread of life. What about us, brethren? What about each one of us? Do we recognize God's true words and Jesus Christ's voice? And more importantly, do they know each one of us? Do they, brethren? Brethren, before Passover this year, it might be a good time to really make sure that we know our shepherd's voice and to search and examine ourselves to make sure we're ready to partake of the Passover and be recognized by our good shepherd. And eventually, brethren, becoming shepherds also. John 10, verse 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. This tells us that as the shepherd walks before his sheep, leading them from the pasture to the water, back to the safety of the pen at night, our elder brother, Jesus Christ, he went before us to give us a good example as how he lived and preached the gospel. But most importantly, brethren, was how he humbly took a beating and died for our sins as a sacrifice for each one of us. He knows how to lead others, and he is teaching us to follow him. Verse 5, it says that his sheep will not follow a stranger, and neither should we, brethren. We should not be drawn away by false ministry and false doctrine. And verse 6 says they did not understand the things he spoke to them. Let's go to verse 8 now. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Some translations here state that all who came instead of me or pretended to be me are false shepherds. And my sheep should not even listen to them. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Well, he keeps repeating that. He is the door, huh? This is so we recognize for those who come to God through Jesus Christ can have their sins forgiven and be given eternal life. Rather, none of that is possible without going through Jesus Christ. The phrase goes in and out. In Hebrew, it refers to all the actions of a man's life and the liberty he has of doing good or not doing good. I'd like to read John 10, verse 10 from the New Living Translation. First part of this verse is referring to Ezekiel 34. Of those who entered to the priesthood so they could enjoy the life in the church. And then they stole from the people and took advantage of them. John 10, verse 10. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. Jesus Christ's purpose was to lead the flock back to God's doctrines and teachings so that the people might have an abundant life, meaning eternal life. And this is why. This is why he keeps saying over and over that he was the good shepherd. Because this is the main reason right here that Jesus Christ is called the good shepherd, brethren. Because he gave his life for each one of us to be able to have eternal life. Verse 12, it says, It tells us who is not willing to give up his life for the sheep. Let's drop down to verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. There will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus said there were other sheep, meaning members, that were following him. Brethren, each one of us, we right here, we've been selected, are being trained right now to be a shepherd. We're going to assist Jesus Christ in shepherding all of those human beings that have ever existed, who are wandering around like lost sheep right now. They are frightened, they're confused, and they are so hungry for God's truth. Well, this will be a part of your job to teach them. So let's cover three main ways that show us how the shepherd cares for his sheep. And we should too, brethren. Number one, the good shepherd leads by his example and uses wisdom. A good shepherd leads by his example and uses wisdom. Brethren, we've already read in Psalms 23 and John 10 how Jesus Christ is the good shepherd because of the way he leads us. Come with me now to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 21 through 25. For to this you, brethren, were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return when he suffered. He did not threaten, but committed himself to who judges righteously. Verse 24, who himself bore our sins, his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer. And the scripture tells us that we are to be following in Jesus Christ's footsteps and follow his examples every moment of our life. Brethren, does God sometimes have to knock us upside the head? He does me. You bet he does. Brethren, we should prepare ourselves like this plaque right here on the front of this lectern to be teachers, to be leaders, and yes, brethren, shepherds. It's time to get serious, brethren. I'm sorry, but we got to step up. Come with me to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. I'd like to read this from the New Living Translation. Hebrews 5, verse 11 through 14. There is much more that we'd like to say about this, but this is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You've been believers for so long now that you ought to be teaching others. You're like babe who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who have been trained and have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. I don't know about you, that verse says it all right there. We need to be growing and become spiritually mature, brethren. We need to recognize this Satan-filled world for what it really is, one sick world. Look forward to the world tomorrow with such fervent desire. Brethren, this is what's going to help us become a shepherd, a leader, and a servant. When it comes to wisdom, which is defined as the ability to apply knowledge to a question, are difficult, and to make the right decision. Brother, we know we can find godly wisdom in God's words by reading our Bible daily. We can gain wisdom, which makes us more stronger in the ways of God's. When we need to seek wisdom or guidance, a good place to start is in Proverbs. You don't have to turn there. In Proverbs 2, verse 6 and 7 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly." Brethren, God promises each one of us to teach us, to guide us, and he does this through his written word, brethren. This fantastic book right here. Jesus is said to be our wisdom, for in him we gain the true knowledge of God. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. And then we can have spiritual and physical wisdom that only God can give us. If we ask for it, and if we believe that God will and can give it to us through Jesus' name. Proverbs 10, verse 30 says, "Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who has no sense." Our good shepherd carries a staff, a rod with him, doesn't he? We know that he will not use it on our backs, brethren, because he loves and gives us his word. Let's not forget that Jesus Christ was a physical human being, living right here on this earth. He felt pain, suffered a tremendous, terrible death. Because of that, he can feel empathy for our pain and suffering for each one of us. Number two, the good shepherd has love and empathy for the sheep. A good shepherd has love and empathy for the sheep. Brethren, as a shepherd, we must have that deep, deep love for the sheep. I'd like to ask you a question. Can any one of us sitting in this room right now that you had a conflict with, or anyone in this room, and walk up to them, tell them you love them? That's hard to do, isn't it? Brethren, that's an attitude and a heart of a shepherd, and we got to have that. It should give us such peace, knowing God and Jesus Christ love us. And since Jesus Christ can empathize with us, and therefore he wants to partake, protect, and take care of us. The fact that God governs all things in the world from creation, from time to come, man, should be a great source of peace and comfort to each one of us. That's fantastic to me, brethren. I'd like to tell you a true story now from God's Vine website about empathy and love, because I think they go together and cannot have one without the other. A farmer had some puppies that he needed to sell. He was painting a sign advertising the puppies and was nailing it to the post on the edge of his yard. And as he was driving the last nail into the post, he felt a tug on his overalls. He looked down into the eyes of a little boy with dusty jeans and dirty hands. "Hello, mister," he said. "I'd like to buy one of your puppies." "Well," said the farmer as he rubbed the sweat off the back of his neck, "those puppies come from very fine parents, and they cost a great deal of money. Do you have any money?" Well, the boy dropped his head for a moment, reached deep down inside his pocket, and held it up to the farmer and says, "I got 39 cents. Is that enough to take a look?" "Sure," said the farmer with a forced grin, because he was still thinking all the chores he still had to do that day. And with that, he let out a whistle. "Here, Dolly. Here, Dolly." Out from the doghouse, down the ramp, ran a beautiful yellow lab, followed by four little yellow balls of yellow fur. The little boy pressed his face against the chain-link fence. His eyes were dancing with major delight. As the dogs made their way to the fence, little boy noticed something else stirring inside the doghouse. Slowly, another yellow ball of fur appeared. Only this puppy was a lot smaller than the other ones. Down the ramp it slid in a clumsy manner. The little pup began hobbling over toward the others, doing his best to catch up. "I want that one. I want that one," the little boy said, pointing to the runt. Well, the farmer knelt down at the boy's side and said, "Son, I'm sorry, you don't want that puppy. He will never be able to run and play with you like the other puppies will." With that, the little boy stepped back from the fence, reached down, began pulling up one of his pant legs. In doing so, he revealed a steel brace running down both sides of his leg, attaching itself to a special made shoe. Looking back up at the farmer, he said, "Sir, you see, I don't run too well myself, and I will need someone who understands." While fighting back the tears in his eyes, the farmer reached over the fence, scooped up the little runt, and gave it to the boy. And he just went back and walked and turned away and went back to his chores. Rather, this world is tremendously full of people who need someone who can feel empathy for them, love them, and try to understand what we are going through also today. And this is one of the reasons that Jesus Christ was sent to this earth as a human being, so that we can feel, so he can feel what we go through every day. Both God and Jesus Christ love and care for us, brethren. That is why they built this earth, just for each one of us. Come with me now to a set of verses to talk about how much they love us, and that our life are more precious to them than any other part of the creation. Matthew 10. Come with me to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 29 through 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Brethren, this shows us they care very much for us. Brethren, nothing happens to us as a mistake. Jesus Christ knows what is best, and they know what needs to happen in order to lead the sheep home. But brethren, what happens? What happens if we get lost or we mess up and take the wrong path? Jesus Christ is there to help us, isn't he, brethren? We can repent of our sins and be reconciled back to God. Number three. A shepherd must be willing to lay down his life for the sheep. A shepherd must be willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Brethren, we've been talking about Jesus Christ and how he was the physical good shepherd over God's people and the church. He is still the spiritual leader of this church today. But let's take a few moments now and talk about who was one of the original shepherds over God's people. What role he will be given. There are many shepherds mentioned in the Bible. You may have thought of some already. Abraham, Moses. But who was a shepherd boy first? And then a mighty warrior. And then a servant of God. And then a king. Come with me to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. Read about David, the shepherd boy, who became king of Israel and will be the good shepherd over the kingdom of Israel and Judah. Ezekiel 34, verse 20. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, "Behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep." Go to verse 23 and 24. "I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." Brethren, why do we think? Why do we think that David was such a good shepherd and a king? Remember how he was just a shepherd boy? How he protected his flock from the lion and the bear? Because sheep are not willing to protect themselves from predators, brethren. They get scared and they run off and scatter. David was not afraid to lay down his life to protect his sheep, because he had faith that God would protect him. In verse 24, did we notice that God called David his servant? Even though David became a king, he still remained a servant of God. Brother, can we call ourselves servants of God, our sheep? Do we come to church each week to be obey and serve God and to be fed from the messages? Do we want to help and serve others in a loving way, not in a bad attitude? Well, then David had that attitude of a servant. And so should we. He had faith in God and was a humble and a repentant servant. If David was willing to lay down his life for the sheep and the children of Israel, how much more? How much more does our good shepherd Jesus Christ love us, want to defend us from our predators and foes? David was a shepherd boy before he became a king, and Jesus Christ was a shepherd of the people before he was resurrected as the Lamb. Then he was resurrected and rose to the Father. One day, very soon, brethren, he will return as King of Kings, and you better believe it. Jesus Christ gave up his physical life for each one of us sitting here, so we can have access to God the Father through prayer and obedience. Come with me now to 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. See what we must be willing to do in order to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and be reconciled back to God the Father. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Well, then we should be able to have faith and joy knowing that Jesus Christ, he gave up his life for us, brethren, in order to save his sheep that is in us today. He wants to be our good shepherd now and in the days ahead. He desires each one of us with so much desire to follow him in good times and in bad times. Well, between now and Passover, we know we're supposed to be focusing on ourselves to do things before we go in and partake of that very, very serious service, brethren. It is a very serious service. A good shepherd must be willing to lay down his life for the sheep, even for one sheep that goes astray or becomes a lost sheep. A shepherd must lead his sheep to the green pastures every day, or they will perish. Same goes for us, brethren. The pastor can refer to God's word, and the scriptures are called both milk and meat. When the sheep are with the good shepherd, he does everything that he can to protect the sheep and keep the flock together. Brethren, while we're at church each week, we should be able to feel safe, taken care of by our physical shepherd and our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Brother, hopefully this can help us prepare for Passover with a new outlook on everything. I mean everything that Jesus Christ has done for us and what he's going to do for us in the future, brethren. I'd like to turn to one final verse, Isaiah 40. Come with me to Isaiah 40. Verse 10 and 11. says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his servant, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and he will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young." So, brethren, what will the role of Jesus Christ be like? It will be like the Good Shepherd. What should we be doing now to prepare ourselves to rule and help in this very, very sick world we all live in? We should be like the good sheep, brethren, following the good shepherd and looking forward to become shepherds ourselves of servants, teachers, leaders, so we can rule with him for eternity. So, are we going to be a sheep wandering around on our own? Or are we going to be part of the flock and someday become a good shepherd also? Well, how does that job offer sound to you now? Are you